28th chapter. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. If you go to a game of any sort, basketball is the season we're in now, you can tell how the game is going even if you never look at the game. Just sit with the fans and watch the faces of the fans. The reaction on their face, if they're an avid fan especially, says it all, good or bad. The bigger the game, the more intense and obvious the emotions are. If it's blowout for the team that they are rooting for, well, they're cheerful, they're happy, they are jovial. If it's a nail-biter back and forth, they are pensive and uneasy. And if it is a blowout loss, they are dejected, and I promise you I wrote this before yesterday evening. The prospects of a win, insofar as they are obvious, control the crowd. It's plain for everybody just to see by looking around the room. On Good Friday, it was a bleak outlook for Jesus and his followers. And really, it was beyond bleak. Bleak is a relatively good term for what it was on Good Friday. It was a devastating loss for them. And the score, someone had left up on the scoreboard. Jesus was hanging there, dead on the cross. Jesus was then buried. Now, no one watching at 3 o'clock, about the time that our Lord died on Good Friday afternoon, would have said, "There's still more time left in the game. Regulation has more time for us to pull out a win somehow." It wasn't the case. The game was over. They had lost from what they saw. The disciples' hopes were lying dead along with Jesus himself. But we know that that's not how it ended. For people watching a game live, reactions are always just so raw and so real. They are very intense. We really have enjoyed going to the local games here in Watsika and the surrounding schools as much as we can, because it's just so much more fun than watching TV. You're in a room full of people that are watching something happening in real time with real reactions. That's better than a box you can turn off. But that's another sermon for another day. It's just great. But live reactions are raw and they are real. And to the disciples on Good Friday, it was an absolute devastating rout. But they didn't know what we do now, here, after the fact. We, who have seen the replay, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." We know, as they soon found out, that there was more to be told, that the game was not over, in fact. The opponents walked off the court, as it were, thinking that they had won, in a victorious, miraculous manner. But 3 days later, it was apparent and obvious, of course, to the disciples and to them, that their celebration was excessive and premature. And we say, with all confidence, that what looked like a loss to Jesus and the disciples was, in fact, in the end, a win. And not just a small win, but the biggest win possible. The gospel, the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry, they record all of the pertinent facts of what happened, the play-by-play, after action, as it were. Jesus was tried and convicted on bad evidence, we know that. He was tortured and executed in the Roman fashion on a cross. He was taken down, placed into Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and a stone was put there to guard the entrance along with the guards who were to make sure that the disciples did not come and steal the body, claiming a lie that he had been raised from the dead. And the disciples themselves scattered like scared rabbits. But that changed on Sunday, didn't it? The first day of the week. Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to the women first. He appeared then to the disciples and then to many, many more in the intervening weeks. Death, which seemed to have the victory, which seemed to have the upper hand, was defeated in a buzzer beater upset by the Lord of glory. On Easter Sunday, God won, and with God, everybody who believes in his Son, Jesus Christ. We win because Jesus' resurrection proves that what he said, what he promised, is actually true. His promise that his blood was, in fact, poured out to forgive our sins. True. We win because his promise that our death, too, is just going to be a temporary sleep, like his. True. We win because we have the promise that he has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. He is risen, so that is true. Easter Sunday, then, now, today, and every time until he comes again in glory, Easter Sunday is our banner victory day. Christ is triumphant over the grave, and friends, we will be too. But our share in the victory, though that future resurrection does lie in the future, our own resurrection, that is, it is something that we have an advance on here and now, even today. While we wait for the day that we ourselves and our own bodies shall enjoy him with our own eyes, our own sight, in resurrected immortality, we wait with a holding place token given to us in advance, the risen body of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. The disciples, later on in John's Gospel, were told they got to share a resurrected victory feast with Jesus on the seaside as he grilled out some fish for them and himself. But we have the feast of victory in Holy Communion. In, with, and under the bread and the wine, we have Jesus Christ himself given to us to eat and to drink, present, risen, powerful. In doing this and giving us himself, he graciously forgives us, just as he forgave Peter those three times, "Feed my sheep." And he also promises us in this meal we have life and salvation. By his word and his sacrament, we have a true foretaste of the feast to come, the victory feast to come, and awaits us in heaven. And like the feeding miracles were for the people that experienced them, this feast and what it gives, it is far more than enough to satisfy our wants and our needs. It nurtures our faith, increases our hope, and renews our confidence that, like our Lord Jesus, we will beat death. So celebrate the day today, Easter. Celebrate that you will win, you have won, because Jesus has won. He's not dead, but he's risen. And his enemy and your enemies, sin, death, and the devil, they have been routed. Glory in that today. Think about it, ponder it, praise God for it. And do that every day of your life until the day you behold him with your own eyes. Alleluia, Christ is risen.